The ground is moist, Monteras reported, rubbing some dirt between his fingers. But there's no water source here. Nearby, then, said Jean Jap.
Or the girl creates it, said Al Pierce, and he and Monteras shrugged. She was, after all, a mortal chosen of a god, so they believed.
However it is done, it is clearly maintained, Monteras pointed out. The plants are neatly trimmed, and I see no weeds and no desert plants at all in here. And they would be in here if there really was a water source nearby.
So someone tends it, and well, Al Pierce agreed.
The girl, Jean Jab insisted. It's like Jean Jab told you, all of it.
He eyed the precious Igal looped on Al Pierce's belt as he spoke.
Do we lay in wait for her to return? Monteras asked.
Al Pierce shook his head.
I have seen enough of Razalith and smelled enough of these Bedine dogs already.
He turned to Jean Jap.
Her name is Rukia?
Yes, yes, Rukia, daughter of Niraj and Kavita.
She comes out here, just her?
Yes, yes, just her.
Day or night?
In the day. Maybe in the night, but Jinjab only see her in the day.
Alpiers and Unteras looked to each other.
Miles to the Desai camp, Unteras said. Long walk for a little girl.
At that moment, a lion called out in the darkness, its mournful cry echoing off the stones.
Long walk through dangerous lands, said Alpiers.
The lions, they don't bother her.
Jean Jab interrupted, seeming a bit frantic once more, and reverting more fully to his thick Bedine accent.
I have seen her walk right past them as they sleep in the grass.
Al Pierce motioned for Interis to follow and started out of the secret garden. He paused to glower at Jean Jab and told the man,
Wait here.
Quite a tale.
Unteras said when the two were back out among the wind-swept rocks, near to a large dune with an alabaster spire protruding at a strange angle.
Too much so to be a lie, perhaps.
Unteras shrugged, seeming unconvinced.
Someone is tending the garden, Al Pierce reminded him.
We can make shade enclave by midday, said Unteras. Let Lord Ulfbinder unravel this mystery.
Al Pierce nodded his agreement, then motioned with his chin back toward the secret garden. While he went to retrieve the horses, Unteras crept back in to offer Jinjab his reward. They left the old Bedine face down under the cypress tree, his blood pouring from his open throat and wetting the ground around the roots and flowers. The indignity assaulted Rukia's sensibilities. Thrown over Tanud's shoulder like a sack of feed for the camels, the poor girl kept reaching back to pull her sarong down over her bare legs. There was no use in resisting. Tanud's friends were all around, escorting the pair between the many Desai tents and out of the village to the wellspring just to the south. The parade collected many happy elders, chanting and singing. Many others, nearly the whole of the tribe, were already down at the growing mud pit. Barefoot women danced without inhibition in the slop, kicking their feet up high and often sliding and slipping down into the mud to the happy howls of the onlookers. Several hollow poles were driven down into the ground around the area, the water bubbling up over their hollow tops, catching the fiery reflection of the many fires that burned around the edges of the pit. The Desai would celebrate through the night, as tradition demanded whenever a wellspring was discovered. Rukia tried not to be distracted by the cheering and the singing and the tumult all around her. She focused on her own song now, hoping to heighten the celebration even more. She whispered to the winds, calling upon the clouds to gather. Then she was pitched through the air, her song turning into a shriek. She twisted around and even managed to get her feet under her as she landed, but it did her little good as the mud slipped out from under her and she unceremoniously flopped down on her back, legs and arms splayed wide. The women laughed, the men cheered, and Tanud stared down at her superiorly. He crossed his arms over his slender chest, the supreme conqueror. Rukia didn't react, just fell back into her quiet song, calling to the clouds. Strong hands grabbed her by the ankles and began swirling her around, then rolling her onto her stomach and swirling her some more. Her brown hair matted against her head, and she couldn't see where her sarong ended and her bare legs began, for they were all the same color then, a mat of muddy clay. She smelled it in her nostrils and tasted it in her mouth. The torment continued for some time, but Rukia didn't notice, for she had her song, and it was a safe place for her. Up above, the clouds gathered, answering her call. Finally, the older boys let her go, and a chant went up for Tanud the Conqueror, and the older women sang a song to him and of him. Rukia noted his father, beaming with pride, and noticed her own parents. Niraj standing with a wide and warm smile for her, nodding his gratitude to her for accepting the game with dignity and restraint. Beside him stood Kavita, with her silken black hair. She wore an uncomfortable smile and tried to nod, but Rukia could tell that she was filled with sympathy for her daughter, or perhaps it was simply a silent lament that Rukia had been so chosen. There were implications to this game, after all. Tanud had singled her out above all others. He had signaled to the Desai that pretty Rukia, with her lighter hair and startling blue eyes, would be his choice. Rukia noted that many of the tribe's girls, some her own age or just a bit older, looked upon her with open hostility now. "Clean her!" Tanud's mother called out, and several other women joined in the call. "The water! The water!" Rukia looked to Niraj, and again he nodded and offered her a warm smile. She felt Tanud's hand grasp her by the wrist, strong but gentle. He pulled her up to her feet and began leading the mud-covered girl to the nearest spigot. They had just arrived, the cold water splashing over her, when a streak of lightning split the sky above, and the accompanying boom of thunder brought with it a sudden and heavy downpour. Cries of surprise became shouts of joy as all the tribe began to dance and sing, and surely this was a good sign that promising young Tanud had chosen wisely this wellspring night. Rukia lifted her face to the sky and let the rain wash the mud away.
"You cannot escape me," Tanud whispered at her side. "You can never escape me."
Rukia looked at him, almost with pity, and certainly with enough clear amusement to unnerve the boy. So suddenly, in that simple exchanged glance, Rukia had gained the upper hand. Tanud licked his lips nervously and sulked off to dance with the others.